Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Super glad you guys are here today. If you haven't tuned in so far on this series, we are talking about what it means to look at an unhurried life. The foundation of the message is built upon the fact that we want to be, as believers in Jesus, if that's you today, we want to have a life, a walk with God, if you will, that would be appropriate. Inappropriate based on what the Bible says, not necessarily what you say or what you think or what your husband might say or what your boss says or the world or social media, but what God says would be an appropriate, healthy walk, which we're calling unhurried. So there's enough in the Bible that talks about when we're unhurried that we're going to be more in step with what God says, with who God is. And so sometimes we need to slow down a little bit. The goal is not to be hurried, but the goal is also not to do and be nothing. So we're gonna talk about a little contrast today. We're gonna have some fun with it. I do wanna kind of read the purpose of our series here, just so we can set up where we're going in the next 4 weeks. We got 4 weeks to chip away at this conversation. There's a lot of good resources that go along with it. So as I read this, my invitation for you would be, would you be willing, as always, to consider where you're at today, where you are in your journey, where you are in your walk with God, how well it may be, or a lack thereof, wherever you find yourself today, that you'd be willing to go, okay, God, what do you have for me in this area? Some of you, just looking at this title, are like, oh boy, here we go. I don't even really want to talk about this. Well, too bad. We're talking about it. See where you're at with this. Ask the Lord to reveal some truth to you. And so here's our purpose of our series, is that we want to look into what the Bible says is true, about what we would call a healthy and normal rhythm of life in which God says is life. Okay, I want to say that again. We want to look at what are the rhythms in the text. What has God provided for us in creation? What has God provided for us in stories of people in the Bible? What has God provided for us in some of his good law and commands? What has God provided for us in the church to where he would say, should you choose to trust me, you will find life abundant in this rhythm, okay? We're invited to see it, to learn about it, and then compare where we are with our life with it, right? That's how we reconcile our lives to what God says is life. Okay, we're gonna try to fight to learn what those rhythms are. Along the way, we're gonna go, what am I doing? Where am I at? And how we're gonna reconcile these two things is we're gonna talk about what most oftentimes is the root of the issue, which is where do you start with your heart? So this entire series and this conversation is a heart issue. The way in which your belief is manifested comes from where you at in the center of your being. That's what the heart is described as in the Bible. What you believe in, where your faith is going to dictate oftentimes how you act. Part of how you choose to understand what you believe is what do you think about it? How does it work when you actually put it into practice? But a life in the rhythm of your life, hear me this morning, is a condition of your heart, whether you believe it or not. So prepare your heart as we go into this journey, into this message, to ask yourself certain questions like, what do I actually believe is good for me or not? What does God actually say is good for me or not? Why do I do what I do? Why do I do the things I don't want to do? Which Paul also says. Be willing to kind of tap into this for this next journey and see what God does with it. I want to start that way because oftentimes I immediately go here. I immediately want to solve it. I want to think about it and go, how do I fix it? What's the formula? What are the books? Show me how to find a scheduler, right? Where's that social media thing where if I just click that button, it's going to schedule my entire life and do it overnight. And then by the way, I become a millionaire too, right? Like whoever, which one of you is selling that one, like figure that out for me. I tend to go here, I want to fix it, I want to solve it, I want to do it. But what I believe God is showing us in this principle, and many of the principles in the book, is that it always starts with our belief, the center of us, where our heart is. And just like any other topic here, you're going to see that there's lots of challenges and hurdles and opposing forces with that. Like the world and like desires that you may have, other people, right? The journey that you've been on. There's a lot of external factors, but we're going to talk about a journey of the heart as we go through this. Okay, so that's our setup. We're going to look at two different extremes on the rhythm and the journey of our life. One that is crazy and out of control and frenetic and hurry and energy and effort and productivity and go. There's an extreme there. And we're going to look at the opposite extreme, which is kind of the title of this one, which is what we would call like lazy, nothing, absolutely worthless. Okay? And however you hear that this morning might allude to a little bit about what's going on in your heart. Okay, ready to do some work? See how I did that right there? No, hard to slow down. Don't hurry. We're gonna have a little fun as we go. So we're gonna highlight the many ways in which we oftentimes adopt a hurry or a hasty lifestyle. We're gonna look at that, right? And we're gonna pursue an unhurried, holy life. We're gonna talk about what holy means. So we're talking about that today. Next week, we're gonna talk about what does it mean to slow down enough to care. Following week, we're going to talk about what happens when you don't want to slow down, but your life circumstances slow you down, right? Tragedy, difficulty, pain, suffering, difficulty, because sometimes that's the only way we slow down and stop, right? Yep, we'll talk about that. And then we're going to wrap it up beautifully in the last week of the series by talking and looking specifically at the rhythm of creation, which is the red thread through our entire topic here. So, two scriptures. We're going to read two scriptures. They're going to put us on both sides of our road here. Our fight is to stay in the center. And then we're going to talk about it. The first one, kind of the preface of this series, is in Matthew chapter 6, 31 and 33. And Jesus is saying this. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So one side of it is a constant attention to belief, gut level, heart conversation, right? The things that you care about, the things that you think upon, the things that you schedule, the things that you chase, the things that you idolize, the things that you promote, the things that you schedule, the things that you talk about are what do I have? What do I have? How much clothes? What do I eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to go? Who are we going to do? It's the chasing and the pining and the incessant draw of what the created parts of life are. And what God says is a pagan or somebody that's the opposite of God, non-believer, chasing that in which God does not offer, a person that is that way constantly chases those things. And they never satisfy. And it never ceases. And that can promote us to go, 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 more, do, have, don't have, get more, be more, all those sorts of conversations. Also, what Jesus says in Matthew right there is he says, you have forgotten that God already knows what you need, right? Says that your heavenly Father knows that those are needs, not necessarily what you want, maybe not necessarily in the quantity or the quality in which you want, but what God says is, I know that those are needs that you have. Would you trust me that I will provide for you as much as you need in the quantity, in the way, in the fashion, and for the uses that I have? It's a heart belief. Do you see that in there? So one side of it is a potential reason for a frenetic, hurried life is I gotta get more. I gotta have it. If I don't have it, I'm not gonna make it. And if I don't have enough, I'm not gonna be okay with enough. And how can I trust God with that? Because I don't see him anywhere. And so I better get to work and I better go and I need more. You can see how that already is raising some blood pressure. And some of you are living that right now. Okay, that's one side. We're going to jump to the other verse and we're going to look at Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, 6 and 11. Both sides of the street. Proverbs 6 says this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. And consider its ways. And be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler or boss or spouse. Yet it stores its provisions in the summer and it gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. So let's talk about the other side of the road. What God is saying is there, right? Be wise and look around. Doing nothing ever all the time. Little more rest, little rest from your rest. I need a break from my break, right? I'm gonna roll over in my bed is also what Proverbs says. Is that a life that is set apart for those purposes. Me, my, rest, stop, no, done, nothing, lazy potentially, is going to bring upon a person what? It says poverty, challenge, difficulty, right? And so we can look at that and go, is the answer and the goal to find a godly, healthy rhythm of life to do absolutely nothing all the time, never do anything, don't do, don't talk, don't do nothing? Is that the goal? No. Is the other side of the street, the unhealthy perspective and rhythm, is that the goal? Go as much as you can, die on the field, right? Scrape me off of the floor, get as much as I can, get to the top, have the most, be the most respected, most powerful, most accomplished, most everything all the time. In order to be that, to get that, I gotta go. And if it ain't up to anybody, it's gonna be me, and I'm gonna do it, and I can't because they made me, and if I don't, then this is gonna happen, and you don't really understand my circumstances. And let me tell you about, hold on, and then, right, because then we get hurried because we have to, or that's, is that the goal? It's not. And so in this topic, like many other topics in the Bible, we're going to see that God invites us to live right smack dab in the middle of this tension, right? In the Shephelah land of going, which one of these is better? Which one's better? Neither. Which one's worse? Neither. Do you have an opinion? Yes. Okay, remember, it's neither. God gives us wisdom to look at both sides and say, which one is unhealthy? Where are you today? What belief do you have? What journey do you have? What influence on other people do you have? So we're going to talk about the tension on both sides. Before we dive into some specifics here, I want to just make sure that we're clear on what a word is that we're using. And that word is holy. If you've been on the journey and been a part of our campus, we use this word often. If you know it, let's talk about it together. The word holy means set apart. Okay, what else? Sanctified. Okay. Anything else? It's good. Set apart, sanctified, different, okay? Allotted for, motivation for the purposes specifically of God. Okay, holy means that is a descriptive word of God that is, yes, different. It is set apart. It is sanctified. It is above and beyond the normal functioning inclinations of this world. What God describes as the flesh, your own passions and desires, aside from what God says, he says is not holy. So holy is the pursuit of trusting and believing and being about characteristically in heart, mind, and soul what it is that God says is good and true and healthy and appropriate. That's what holy is. Like God's team, his ways, his will. Okay? He invites us to choose to be a part of that in every step and every season of our life and in every way. It's not a demand, it's an invitation. And so we get to choose to go, is this, you could say, Christ-like? Are you growing in your sanctification, which means to be like God? God says that the church and believers are to be holy and set apart different, recognized by the world that is a pattern that is not normal to the world, but is akin to God. When we talk about crazy unhurriedness or we lazy or frenetic, whatever that may be, a lifestyle that has life in what Jesus says will look different than what the world says. True? That's going to be living right in the middle, and we're going to have tension with that. You should have tension with that. If you're walking in the ways of the Lord with all of it God has given you, you're gonna find pushback and disagreement and struggle and frustration. And in that is where God says you will find life. But part of our problem is we don't wanna trust that. We don't wanna believe that what God says is true with his timing and his processes, his amounts, his ways. And if you're like me, I'm like, I don't have time for that. Or I don't trust that. Or hey, remember when that happened that one time? Or this person took advantage of me when I was nice to them. Or if I just get enough for me, then I'll be a person that is gonna be willing to be about what God wants me to be about. And all these different influences along the way. So every time you hear the word holy, think of God, God's ways. What God says is good, opposite of what maybe your own personal desire or what the world says. Sound good? Okay. So here's our couple sides of the road here. Number one, unhurriedness is not always holiness. Okay? Being unhurried is not always holy. So if we break that down a little bit more, if I'm unhurried, meaning I'm just gonna maybe not do that or do less of that, right? Sometimes that can lead us into this ditch, which is not a good thing, right? This is a topic for today, this lazy concept, this idea, okay? But hurriedness over here working for the Lord, that's not always holy either, is it? Unhurried or lack of hurry. So we're gonna talk about both of those sides. From the book here, there's a book called Unhurried Life. That's where we're taking it. That's by Alan Fadling. It's a great book. He says this, and I want to ask you if you agree with this, is that urgent issues arise that require immediate attention and quick action. Do you believe that that's true? Urgent situations arise. Immediate action is necessary. Emergencies require urgency. True? Yeah. Like, you know, if one of your kids is gonna put their hand on a hot stove and you're like, I could act urgently to help them or not. Some of you are like, time to learn a lesson, right? Good parenting, time to learn a lesson. You're like, nah, good luck, right? Some of you are like, well, I had to learn that lesson too, so do they, okay? Something's gonna roll into the street, right? When emergencies happen, urgency is appropriate, right? Now, the problem is not when those things happen. The problem is this, he continues his statement. He says, is when we find ourselves living in a constant sense of emergency or urgency, and we get stuck there, right? Constant sense of emergency or urgency, and we get stuck there. So for our analogy, both sides of the road, we're gonna talk for a second about this overwhelming hurriedness. And what happens is we find ourselves, we're gonna get stuck here. Why do I get stuck here? Why do I feel like everything's an emergency? And what you're gonna see is, we're gonna talk about this, that the natural reaction when we can identify this or see this or get appropriate about this is that sometimes we go, you know what's better than this? This over here. Absolutely nothing, right? I don't wanna get caught in this hurriedness and this overdone and what's going, how do I do this? But you know what's better than that? Or you know what my solution is? I'm gonna do absolutely nothing at all. And that's me, guys. That's me right there. Oh, man, feeling like I got a lot going on, overburdened, pretty hurried right now. The solution is I'm going to be in my sweatpants for 9 days. And I'm like, honestly, right? Honestly, I'm like, that's a good idea. But like, I mean it. I'm like, I'm doing that. It's like, wait a minute. Am I offsetting this by setting this? So we're going to talk about why do we feel like this may be a thing and then the dangers of what happens if we buy into this over here, okay? So what is it called when there's an emergency always? Think about like natural disasters. What do they call that? Crisis, okay? Or is defined as a state of emergency, right? A state of emergency has been declared. Want everybody to know that it's bad, right? Think of volcanoes, think of tidal waves, think of like Hurricane Katrina, remember that? There's agencies where it's like, hey, we're declaring, we'll let everybody know. It's all emergency all the time for I don't even know how long, okay? Appropriate, true? Now, is that appropriate for your life? God would say no. Now, here's the tough part of this, guys. Some of you, even today, maybe recently, actually live in a state of emergency all the time, right? Now, you think about those natural disasters, it's like, we got to send in resources, we got to do all this extra stuff. I mean, it's this frenetic, we got to go, and if we don't do this, man, lives are going to be at stake, right? That's a physical, external, real demand of a crisis that needs immediate attention. Yet sometimes we can make that happen here or here. Now, emergencies require urgency, but not always, not all the time. You were not designed or wired to be on all the time. True? Even that may be something that you're wrestling with today, right? And whether it's gals or guys, some of us were raised or trained by the world or even in our homes or in our jobs to go, the only value and worth that you have is if you're on always all the time. Do more, fix it, help, grow, be healthy, get it more. The only way in which you find value and purpose is to have more and do more and be more. And then if you don't, then what are we going to do? And if you can't figure it out, then how are we going to figure it out? And how are we going to fail this last quarter? And who's going to provide for the family? And what are people going to say about you if you're not doing all this stuff? And you're in a constant state of emergency. And here's the thing. Because is this a head issue we're talking about? Okay, is this a what I can accomplish issue we're talking about? Okay, but where does it start? Here. If a constant state of emergency is a place that you live in, God would say, and I would repeat, you have made a decision that that's true in your life. Sometimes there are external tragedies and things that happen. We're gonna talk about that in 2 weeks. But to be honest with you, for you and before other people, the question is that really what's going on in your life? Or is it just the way that you feel? Or is it just the things that you've bought into? Is it just the ideas that you believe is actually better than what God says is true? Okay, I'm gonna touch on this for just a second. God has designed you fearfully and wonderfully to have the physiological capacities to survive in emergencies, right? Who's ever heard of the fight or flight response? Okay, we've done a couple series on this. One is called Mastermind, we did last year. We did an Anxious for Nothing series a couple years ago out of Philippians, where it talks about how God has physiologically created in you the ability to rise to the equation, or to the occasion, right? That's that fight, flight. We got some doctors in here, they know what I'm talking about. They're not gonna get into that, okay, right now, but physiologically you have responses that when you perceive that there's danger or a situation, something happens in you, okay? Your heart rate gets elevated, your pupils dilate, you're now ready to either fight and get out of this danger or run away to get out of it, right? That's usually what happens. There's this buildup to be able to handle the situation. Now, are you built and designed to always operate in that condition? No. Yet sometimes we think we should. Always, 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 gotta go, gotta go. So you have a nervous system that promotes this in you, and then God, because we're always fighting in the balance of the tension, has created another system in you that puts the brakes on. That's that freeze component of it, right? You wanna run, or you wanna fight, or you wanna freeze. And those two things counterbalance each other, just like our topic today, right? If you're constantly pining to go, I gotta go, I gotta go, I gotta do more, right? And you're filling your schedule, and you're filling your mind, and you're filling your conversations, and you're having an expectation to do all these things, and you're pedal to the metal all the time, and it's nonstop and gotta go, eventually what happens? Yeah, I think first service I said you either crash or you explode. Sometimes both. So God gives us the governor. He gives us the chance to slow down, this chance to stop and to be okay. But here's what happens. Okay, oftentimes because of what we believe in our heart first, we are creating scenarios in our life that is so hurried because we believe in our heart and our mind that it's actually an emergency. Everything's an emergency. Every phone call, every situation, every dirty dish, okay, every transaction, every conversation, every single thing is an emergency situation every time. And I have to make sure that it works and it's okay. And we constantly run in that situation. What happens? We explode and blow up. Right? Now, here's the other side of this conversation that we're going to talk about in a second, is we try to offset that by running to the other side, which is to do nothing. There's a quote that I've heard often that I like to share because I think it's appropriate. Maybe you've heard it before. Is that lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. Is that true? Absolutely. Absolutely it's true, right? Your own perception of reality, of emergency or non-emergency, is not the only factor in the hurriedness or unhurriedness of your life, right? Your decision and your perception, because guess what else is a part of your journey? People. Those people, right? Those kids, those friends, those bosses, those spouses, right? Now, a lot of the battle is in our own minds and our own hearts, perceived or real, which causes us to have to go, 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 right? The people in your life can help or hurt that equation, true? Constant demands from other people, real or perceived, will constantly push you in the direction of one or the other. Now, it can be helpful when people are like, hey, you okay? Seems like you're running a million miles an hour. right? Now, if we have the ability to hear feedback, gentlemen who were here yesterday at men's breakfast, you know what I'm talking about. If you're willing to hear constructive feedback from a friend that loves you, you'll be willing to be hurt by their directness. You are out of control and running too fast. It's not going to work. That's a loving statement. That's influence from another person. You know what's a challenging, not loving statement? Man, you're pretty lazy and you haven't done anything. Right? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You haven't done anything for months. You're worthless. Thanks for caring. Said or unsaid, perceived or reality, some of us have full gas tanks of fear to where you think maybe somebody might be saying something over there, and so I need to go do all the, right? And we just run until we explode because we're so worried about what other people think about us rather than what God says about us. It's a condition of the heart. Part of the reason why we are always operating out of emergency is because, yeah, the people, but it's also because of what we believe our purpose is. Condition of the heart. If we believe that who we are is what God says we are, regardless of how much we have, regardless of how much we produce, regardless of how fast we go, regardless of how many people we please, if we believe that God says, I invite you to be a part of stewarding all of creation, and that I love you regardless of what you produce and how much it is, we believe that we have a purpose that is greater than that in which we can make or fabricate or earn or buy or please. Hurriedness is a condition of the heart. Sometimes the combination of those things is what makes our plan. Do we have a plan? Do we want to follow God's plan? Do we want to follow my own plan? So there's this hurriedness side, the crazy hurriedness side that is not helpful. And then there's the other side, which is our, what are we calling it, lazy? It's called lazy. I really don't like that word, but it's powerful. There's a difference between two words I want to talk about. One is lazy, and one is a word called acedia. Has anybody ever heard of the word acedia before? I surely had never heard of it ever, so we get to learn a little bit together today. But the other side of the ditch over here, lazy. Lazy, I want to use words like unwilling, unmotivated, or unresponsive. Unwilling, unmotivated, or unresponsive. That's different than unable or unsure, right? So unwilling, I'm unmotivated, I'm unresponsive to a situation, or I'm just flat out unwilling to do it, is different than I'm unable to do it, or I'm unsure what it is that I'm supposed to do. Does that make sense this morning? That's really important because when we talk about life and we're starting to go, who am I and where's my value? Some of us don't actually have the ability to do certain things, whether it's physical restrictions, whether it's health restrictions, whether it's mental restrictions, whatever those things are, an inability to does not equal lazy, right? Okay, how do you know when that's the situation? I don't know. That's why we do relationship together. That's why everybody responds differently. That's why the exact situation you find yourself in is probably not the exact situation from the person that you're sitting next to. And so walking together and being curious and finding out a person's situation matters. Unable and unsure is different than unresponsive and unwilling. True? Okay. So when we talk about this lazy, I'm not gonna do anything. I don't wanna do anything. I don't wanna work. I don't wanna help. I don't wanna provide. I don't wanna have any expectations. I don't wanna use any of the giftedness that God has given me except for myself. I wanna find life in everything that God doesn't say I find life in. That is what we would call an unwilling unresponsiveness to the things of God. True? How do we get there? How do you get there when you're in seasons, hopefully, short like that? What causes you to go there? What causes me to go there tends to be a whole bunch of this over here, right? So burnt out, so many demands, so many yeses that should have been nos, so many perceived realities that were not true that I'm like, oh, if I don't do this, I'm not gonna do a good job. They're gonna be upset. If I don't do this, they're gonna think I don't care. Heaped on all this stuff, 1,000 miles an hour, yes to everything all the time, to where I'm like, you know what the solution is? Don't talk to me for 2 months, right? And then what happens is I convince myself over here. right? I isolate from relationship. I don't actually talk about people. I don't receive feedback. I don't let people speak into, hey, that's kind of crazy. How about we just do this instead of like this over here? I don't listen. I don't turn to what God says is true. I live all up here all the time, which starts to challenge what I believe right here. And I start to justify it. I deserve that. You know how hard I've been working? You know how many things I've been doing? You know how many times I did the dishes? Right? You know, my wife's right there. You know, like he just winked at a person. That's my wife, sorry. I'll sit over here. I'll be like, I got like 5 days of nothing, right? And you know what? I'll fight you if you get near me. I'll fight you to the death of this, right? As I'm building up this case because of such a massive imbalance over there for so many different reasons, I just create a massive imbalance on this side, right? Does that at all seem like a healthy rhythm that stays in the middle of the road? No. Like, think about our car analogy. You're like, man, I just put it in the ditch over here. Maybe it's 100% my fault. Maybe it's because I perceive something. You know what the solution is? Let's get back on. We're just going to slam it into this side over here now, and that's going to work. It's so unhealthy. God has designed us through homeostasis in our physical body to maintain balance and tension in the middle, which means there's going to be some of this, right? It's never a good idea to slam it to both sides. It's never a good idea. Your body doesn't work that way. But yet I'll convince myself this is a good thing. Now I want to talk about one of the other piece. This is this acedia word. This word really comes together, I think, for this one. It's very powerful, very challenging, very powerful. Okay, acedia is a word that comes from the Greek that means acedia, which means not or lacking, and then ketos, which means the word care. So the word means to not care. That's a condition of the heart, is to not care. Now we're talking about having a relationship and walking a path that is unto who? Unto God. And so hang on to the rest of this definition here. This is super powerful. And so further, the adjectives from that definition is it's apathy, it's a boredom or a lethargy, or hear this, right? It is a failure of love. So think about that. To get to a position in your life to where you do not care to love. You don't care about the best thing there is. You don't care to actually find life where God says life is, which is to love God and to love others, which is to be loved by God and by others, which is a byproduct of a heart condition that says, I'm going to trust in what the gospel of Jesus is so much so that I'm willing to be a person that loves God and loves others over loving myself and loving the world. In this idea of acedia, which is, yeah, overwhelmingly apathetic and not motivated and not doing anything, is the actual result of a broken heart condition which says, I don't care to love anymore. Love doesn't work. Love is not effective. And so we find ourselves in this position to say, I'm in complete opposition of the things of God. Remember our Matthew verse? It says that those that are in the complete opposition, pagans of God, are people that run and chase and strive after finding life in the world from themselves rather than being a person that finds life in Jesus, which is giving away of themselves. Here's what's interesting. What acedia causes in us, when we get to this spot of apathy, I just can't, there's just nothing there. That is a cognitive decision to say, I'm gonna choose to not trust in love. God is love. The greatest commandment is to love. A broken heart condition to say it's not worth it is quitting on love. And here's the depth of that statement. If God says that we will find life abundant only in him, guess where we try to find life when we're in this state right here? In everything but him. If you go on, if you do some more research into this, it actually says that this is kind of that grass is greener mentality. And so that means literally when you find ourselves in that spot, we're gonna check out so much from the things of God, from the people of God, from the word of God, from the promises of God, from the kingdom of God, from the goodness of God, from the rhythm of God. We're gonna check out from rest. We're gonna check out from health because the only thing that I can have right here is anything that is what love isn't. I can't do it. So guess what we go to find life? In the text, it literally says that one of the most specific examples for this is social media. Okay? Here's why. Because it's a checkout from reality. When we have brokenheartedness that runs from love, all we want to do is punch out and check out and mindlessly move to the next thing, hoping and fantasizing that the reality that we're in will be better than what it is. Okay, back to your body, the way that your body is made. Do you know what the greatest antidote for stress and anxiety and depression is? A lot of it's physical activity. Okay, the way in which your body works in order to be healthy is that when you're sedentary and you don't function and you don't move and your body doesn't work leads to anxiety and depression. And so getting up and moving and actually be a part of it helps your mental capacity to see what's clear. When we find ourselves in this spot of lethargy and laziness and punching out and checking out here and checking out here, guess what we're most of the time is doing with our physical bodies? Nothing. I wish you wouldn't have shared that this morning. I'm sorry. Right? So you're like, do I get to sit on the couch and watch football today? Or is that, no? Okay, that's the reality. And so what we do is, right, the social media idea, whether it's fantasizing about a life you didn't have or hoping that your relationships were better than they are, of actually getting back on the path to be in relationship, to look into the word of God and walk with the people of God, we do this escapism, oftentimes in social media, oftentimes in fantasy. Sometimes we dive into our business. Other times we're safe, we're moving towards what is satisfied only in flesh. And oftentimes that means we're not actually doing anything here and it's all happening here. Is this a condition of the mind? It's not. It is part of it, but it starts in the heart. So here's where we're at for today, right? There's ditches on both sides of the street, right? Some of us over here need to go, what's happening over here in my hurriedness? Why? Why do I believe that? What am I doing? Some of us need to recognize that we're just jumping back and forth across the street, aren't we? Two massive extremes, which is not good or healthy. Some of us are finding ourselves that the motivation of our heart and life is driven by this right here. I want to check out and punch out. I wish it wasn't the way it was. All I want to do is get away from all that over there because I don't believe that there's a better way. There is a better way. Hang in there for the rest of this conversation as we talk about the rhythm of creation and what God offers for us so that we can do our best to stay on the road together.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.